We're talking to the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. Mark, I've got a question here from a listener. What would happen if people didn't vote for the major parties and a large percentage of people voted for different independents?
Well, there'd be negotiations after the election to see who could form a government. This happens a bit in Europe. So they often have proportional representation rather than first past the post. Or winner-takes-all type systems like we do. So they have discussions. You know, there was a joke there that Italy at one stage were forming new governments and had new elections every other day. You know, it was always a constant state of flux. Sometimes they wouldn't even have an election. The allegiances would change and a new government would form because of different numbers on the floor of Parliament. So that's the democratic process. And in the middle of that, you've got the Governor-General, who basically has the job of deciding after an election which person has the confidence of the House of Representatives to form a government and keep that government going. That is, they can get a budget through and they won't be subject to successful no-confidence votes.
Okay, thank you for that.
But in our system, can I just say, the practical reality in our system is that pretty quickly it would lead to a new election.
Yeah, right, that's what I thought.
See if you can find someone who's got the majority.
That's what I thought. Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of COVID-19 equipment has basically been thrown out. They've scrapped it because it's reached its expiry date. And when we take 100, we're talking what? What are we talking here? Nearly, what, 775 million dollars worth of COVID-19 inventory is what? Impaired or has to be thrown out?
Well, it's hard to believe that amount of money could be wasted when there's the talk of all the problems in the hospital system. Elective surgery was suspended. The person who was responsible for making such poor purchases really should be out the door. And we need competent people to spend the scarce health dollars effectively. I don't think you needed to be a genius to work out the purchases that were needed in advance for PPE or the RAT test. You know, we talked about that a lot, and still they delayed and delayed. So I know Australia's in better shape than many other countries with COVID, but gee, some big mistakes have been made all along the way, haven't they? Starting with the Ruby Princess in 2020 and coming right through to this gross waste of public money.
It just beggars belief that they could get away with this. I mean, it's almost $1 billion.
It's a huge amount of money. No one gets the sack in the New South Wales public service other than for the vaccine mandates. That's the only thing they're sacking people about. But incompetence, no, you'll be back at your desk the next day or even that. You'll be back working at home at the coffee shop in the morning and hanging out with your friends. That's the other thing about the public servants. And maybe they do a better job if they got back to their proper professional working environment instead of just about all of them now still working from home. I spoke to a public servant before Christmas who hadn't been to his workplace in 20 months.
Gosh.
20 months. And he said that was quite common in his agency. It wasn't to do with health, but 20 months, he hasn't seen the inside of his New South Wales government office. And that office space is another waste, isn't it? Just been sitting
idle.
It
is, yeah, absolutely.
You know, rent being paid, facilities being upgraded and maintained, all for no one using them. So the time's come for people to get back to the workplace, not to live in fear. And if our public servants, especially the senior executives, aren't leading the way, then it's a big drain on the economy.
Plans by the New South Wales Police to train 315 officers to become special gay and lesbian liaison officers for this World Pride event, what, in 2023. You say are disproportionate. You made this comment today. It's a story in The Telegraph.
Well, again, scarce police resources, we want the training where it's needed. And I don't think the proportion is correct to say you've got 315 for a gay pride event in Sydney next year that I don't think many of us have heard much about.
No.
And probably only runs for a couple of weeks. We're training up 315 officers for that. How many are we training for special policing for the aged and disabled? 12. Just 12. So, you know, a small fraction of the number for the gay parade. And then another one that, you know, is a very serious issue and attracts a lot of concerning publicity, domestic violence, they've got just over 100, so a third of the officers trained in the domestic violence space. Now, the gay community has needs, but, you know, let's be realistic. They're 2% of the population. They've got a higher level of employment and income and media and political representation than other groups. There's a lot of people much more disadvantaged. There's no officers trained for special reasons to look after welfare recipients or public housing estates where you do get some crime. So I just think this fashion of going down LGBT everything has got way out of proportion, and some of the money could be better spent elsewhere.
Beggars belief, doesn't it? I mean, what are the figures here? 108 domestic violence officers, 58 Aboriginal community officers, 26 multicultural officers, 12 aged crime prevention officers. They want 315 of these LGBTIQA plus police officers.
The whole alphabet, too.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, the Aboriginal one's a good point. There's a lot more crime in Aboriginal communities, particularly those disadvantaged remote communities, than we're going to have at the Gay Pride Festival in Sydney next year. There's a lot more crime in those Indigenous communities. Why aren't we training them up to do something about it? I mean, this is the problem. Things gain a political fashion and currency, and the minister and the head of the police would just not be courageous enough to say, no, it's gone far enough. There's more pressing needs that need to be addressed.
It's always great to talk to you. Our time is up. I've got to go to the news. We'll catch you again next Thursday, Mark Latham.
Okay, thanks, Brent. Good to be back in the normal slot.
Absolutely. Thanks, mate. Nice to talk to you.
All the best.
Bye-bye. That's the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham.